Hello, this is Gilligotti. Today's episode is a discussion of the upcoming remastered release of In Hypnotic Disarray, an album originally released on Auricular Records in 2011.
Welcome to the Gilligotti Potty!
It's the Gilligotti Potty, with 100% more Audi.
More Gilligotti.
Yeah.
This is where you learn all about Gilligotti. What he likes, what he doesn't like.
Yep. Upcoming projects.
Upcoming projects.
Gear, you know. Yeah. And today we're going to talk about an upcoming release that's going to be coming to Bandcamp and then to the streaming.
And this is a Gilligotti release, not a Dresden Peace release.
Yeah, it's a remaster of an album that I released through Auricular Records in 2011. And so over the past couple of years, I've been learning more about the process of mastering, and I've now gotten to the point where I'm confident that I'm able to improve the sound of the original audio enough to justify reissuing it.
Why don't you explain what mastering is?
Well, it's the process of balancing and optimizing the sound of a track, bringing all the volumes of each track on an album into a very similar range, so that when you put the CD in, so to speak, you can play from song to song to song and have the continuity of that be volume wise be totally acceptable.
Or in nowadays terms, when you play the album.
Right. Or, you know, when you play a song, it should match the other songs that you're randomly playing on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because nobody buys albums or plays albums anymore. Yeah, and then, you know, it's a process of just going in and doing the little touches. And in some cases, with this stuff, also doing some repair, because I'm going to talk about each song individually, but as a whole, sometimes my process is to program a song in a DAW, like FL Studio. And sometimes my process is more like using, not exactly, but
what's DAW stand for?
Digital Audio Workstation.
Okay.
So it's basically a set of, it's sort of like Photoshop for music.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I go back to where I originally started, which is just recording stuff and sampling and all of that. And so some of that has a little bit of a lossy kind of sound to it, a little bit hissy. Mm. And so I'll go in and fix some of that, most of it, but I'll leave a little bit just because I like some character.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll...
So the name of the album is?
In Hypnotic Disarray. And that's a title that has been, that's a title that was around for a long time, actually. Originally, the title of the album, well, there were two album titles floating around that I was kind of working on. One was Curse Machine, and the other was In Hypnotic Disarray. And I just eventually dropped Curse Machine as a title and folded about half of the material that I had up to that point into In Hypnotic Disarray, just because I had way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it, and then some of it is stuff that I've subsequently made, is going to be released in the future as Silence Sings the Blues. But this is the original set of material that I winnowed out and thought, okay, well, this is all of the best of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to release this as a as an album.
When did you release the album the first time?
2011.
2011, okay.
So it's 12 years now.
12 years.
Give or take.
Yeah.
And it is actually 12, because the album, I decided to release it because I had a project in a digital art, like a visual art class that I was taking at Butte College.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the assignments was to come up with artwork and, like, the cover art, the tray art, and the disc art for a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided, I have this assignment, why not just make an actual intended for release project? So I shuffled through the songs, I picked the songs, I did all of the layout of the text and everything, and then I sent it off to my friend Alan at Auricular, and it was released later on that spring. So now, with Bandcamp being Bandcamp is a website where artists can release their own music and actually get paid for it, which it's nice, but now that people don't buy anything anymore, whatever. But it'll be good to have it available on the internet, and that people can look at it and at least maybe stumble across it, find it. So the first song is called Muzzle Flash, and it was something that I worked on, kind of in the early days. Well, no, it was a little bit later. I was still using FL Studio, but I also was using Audition, because it has samples in it, and the samples are mutated and altered. And at that point, FL Studio was not the greatest option for vocals and samples and things like that. And so I programmed the music in FL Studio, but I recorded the vocals and did the samples, worked with the samples and all of that in Audition. And all of the lyrics will be included on Bandcamp. So you'll be able to look at the lyrics and understand what's being said. And as you read the lyrics, it might be hard to accept the idea that this was intended as kind of a positive song to someone that I liked at the time. So that's how Gilligotti love songs tend to turn out. They're not, they don't really do what they're supposed to do. There's always an undercurrent of weird energy to it. And I guess that's just how I write. I don't know. And so, yeah, that was, I think, around 2004, 2005. And then Axis Prognosticators, I made when I was in Humboldt and I was taking an adult education class. It was a music course, and of course at that point I had been recording music for what, since at least 1990, so it was 15 years at that, or wait, 13 or 14 years at that point. But I figured there's always things that you can learn, and why not? And also it was a great way to get a cheap student's copy of Adobe Audition. So yeah, I signed up, and I don't think that I didn't turn this in as an assignment, I don't think. I may have. But it's a, if you read the lyrics, it's more of a political type of a song. And so it's...
What's it called again?
Axis Prognosticators.
Okay.
The title in part being drawn from that whole George W. Bush Axis of Evil bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So, yeah. I don't know. I like it. It's simple. And it has a simplicity to it. It's also kind of, it's stark, but it's also effective. It has a cold vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And this song also exists as a Dresden Peace song. So there are two versions of it floating around. One Gilligotti version and a Dresden Peace version. And they are different. You can still hear... you can tell that it's the same song if you listen to them side by side.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dresden Peace version... I don't know. It just has more Dresden Peace to it. So, and that's on the first Dresden Peace album, Postmortem Portraits. I like that one. Thought Swarm is the third song, and it originally the one primary thing that I remember about Thought Swarm is that Tamara had said, "Hey, do you think that you can incorporate this bell?" She had a bell thing, she said, "Do you think you could do anything with this sound?" And so I recorded it, and the resulting samples and the manipulations that I did with the sample are in this song. It turned out pretty neat. You can hear it. It's the chirping noise that you hear going back and forth in the speakers. I don't know if you remember from mm-hmm. when you made the video.
There's a video of this song.
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube.
You can go look at it.
You can. You can go look at Thought Swarm and watch the...
Weirdo video.
Watch the special children in the hospital frantically rocking.
And smoking.
Right. Or being smoked, basically. they're having smoke blown at them, I guess, to calm them down. Also, the lyrics in this... include the phrase "curse machine," which, again, was an album title that fell by the wayside, and they also include the phrase "showers in East good," which is from the shipping forecast, the British shipping forecast,
mm-hmm.
and it was sampled by. That's a direct quote of a sample from Wind Power, a Thomas Dolby song from his first EP and also with Blinded by Science, which was 5 songs, and then also his first album, The Golden Age of Wireless. So that was a little nod to Thomas Dolby, who I owe a debt to musically. So yeah. That's Thought Swarm. It's a longer one, but it's good. For My Own Marla Singer is next in the lineup, and it's a strange song because when you listen to it, it kind of sounds like it's rushing. The music itself, it gallops along, and it's a very interestingly paced piece, and the lyrics were written either in a behavioral health hospital or immediately after leaving a behavioral health hospital, because the person who is being talked about was a patient who at a group session in the morning. Or wait, no, it was the afternoon. In an afternoon group session, I was sitting next to her, and she was, like, she was kind of all over me, and it was just in a weird way. She was also younger than I was, so she was about 18 or 19, and I was about 30. Hmm. So I thought, well, this doesn't feel right. So I asked her what was up, and she said that she had taken, she had saved up a bunch of meds and had taken all of them. And so I kind of got the attention of, one of the people, the assist, you know, someone who could help. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, I think you might want to talk to so-and-so here. She doesn't seem like she's doing very well. And so they pulled her aside, and she went to the soft ward for a little while. So I hope that she...
The soft ward?
Yeah. You know, the ward where they don't give you pencils or crayons.
And, oh, right.
Yeah. So...
Where you don't get knives and...
Where you don't get anything.
Or even forks.
Right, yeah.
You only get spoons.
You can eat with your hands or use a spoon, right? So, yeah, I hope she got the help that she needed. The next one is They Are Not Represent Us, and this is the beginning of the more ambient part of the section of the album, or a more ambient section. It's just weird. It's quirky. It's a little bit glitchy. Yeah, I think we might be a little over.
That's fine.
And then I'm using samples from various newscasts, I believe from the BBC, but I'm not sure. Peptide Fandam Spammers was originally called Peptic Fan Dance, which is also on this album as a bonus track.
Mm-hmm.
So Peptide Fandam Spammers is essentially a Peptic Fan Dance, but with a bunch of samples and sound manipulation. So it's the same track, but longer and with more going on. And I like the contrast of having both of them, the salt-free version and the deluxe version, I guess I'll call them, because it's easier to hear the intricacies of the music when there aren't any samples. Mm-hmm. But then the samples also add a depth to it, and this is one of the ones that I programmed entirely into a Korg X3 using nothing but the step sequencer and performance recording and the onboard the onboard software that mm-hmm. was available on it. And so it obviously took a long time.
So you could play the whole thing all at once?
Yeah, I just hit play. It was like a pre-programmed thing.
Oh, so you programmed it and then you hit play and recorded it.
Meticulously, yeah, programmed it. And then once it was done, then I recorded it. Right. They Are Not Represent Us also is largely improvised. So, I'm just going back to that one. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that I just did. I just hit record, did something, sounded good to me. So it goes back to back to the four-track days, but with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do that. I like to have flaws and all of that shit in my music just because, I don't know, it speaks to me. You know, it's having it just be picture perfect is soulless in a way
mm-hmm.
that I don't agree with. And They Are Not Represent Us was originally 10th in the order on the original release. And it is in place of what was originally the 5th song, Lost and Found, which for a while had migrated from being a Dresden Peace song to being a Gilligotti song, but it's now lives on Postmortem Portraits. So, Check on State is another very improvised, unprepared style of song. There's not much more that I can say about that. It's piano, it's me with a microphone, it's just, the chaos pad, there's a lot going on, but it's all basically made up in chunks. You know, like I recorded something. I think I started out with the basic beat, and that was the only thing that I had. Then I wasn't even sure I was going to use that. It was kind of like a click track.
Mm-hmm.
But I wound up liking how it went along with everything else, so I just left it. Cradle Robberies is a pop song about a child molester. So that's enough about that, I think. it's, you know, I mean, the lyrics are meant to be.
It's called Cradle Robberies?
Cradle Robberies, yeah. And the lyrics call it out as being like, this is wrong. That juxtaposing it, and it's not a pop song. I mean, I don't know that I've ever made a pop song specifically, but it's somewhat close. You know, I mean, it has a weird beat. It also has a sample from Barton Fink that, you know, you would need to really look for. It has a couple of others that you would just obviously immediately know, but there's one that is not in any way obvious. So there's that. It has that going for it. Bosnieto Elegy is, it's a sad piano piece with samples again from the BBC or other international news about the bombings in the war in Bosnia and Herzegovina back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of
a cheery little tune.
Right. I also included a version with lyrics as a bonus track, and the lyrics are as cheery as the original subject matter. So yeah, great stuff. I don't know. I like it. It's pretty. It's sad. You know, you would hope that it would provoke some kind of feeling in someone. So that's what I look for. Emergency Exit is yet another largely improvised. Actually, I'll just go ahead and say that it's almost completely improvised. Down to the samples, as a matter of fact. If I remember correctly, I had a sample disc with that included various animal noises. Mm-hmm. And I decided to play the song, and then I was actively manipulating the CD. I was moving from track to track on the CD, and I had obviously pre-selected a few, but I didn't do much else than that. So I just, whenever I thought it was time for some samples, I would put them into the mix. I don't know. I may have done some manipulation later, but the rest of it is all made up. And, you know, it's just improvised. Uh-huh. And that's one that I wrote while I was living with Shauna and Nathan on 4th Avenue, the train station, and which is an apartment. It's the name of an apartment. It's not an actual train station. Mm. You know, yeah, kids, there was a time when I was a hobo.
when I lived in the train station.
Right. And she...
in my womb.
She was hanging out. Yeah, that's what it was, actually. It was my womb room. And she would come in and pass out in the womb after smoking some pot, and I wrote the song while she was hanging out, and just, you know, in between when she went, you know, in between work. So yeah,
and there's a video
for Emergency Exit. I like that one a lot. Then Close Your Eyes is the last song from the original album, and it's a really sad song. I mean, it's really it'll hit you. The actual piano piece itself I recorded live. I wrote it, and then, you know, I wrote it in pieces, and then I stitched it together. I learned how to play it completely from front to back, and then I recorded myself playing it, and that's that. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know how to play it, so I wish that I had written it down,
what was that one called?
Close Your Eyes.
Close Your Eyes.
And the lyrics were... partially written or conceptualized during a trip back from the bars down that somewhat haunted bike trail that goes behind the high school and down the train tracks. Or in between the train tracks and the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then across West Sacramento and you know, that's the one that continues on down. And then...
Were you living on the other side of town?
I was living at the train station. That's...
Oh, that's over that way.
Yeah. Yeah, 4th Avenue. There are some samples from Memento, which is a brilliant film if you haven't seen it. And also samples from Atomic Cafe. And what I did with the actual music is the entirety of the piano piece plays out in the beginning, and then I took that whole thing and I slowed it down somewhat. I don't remember exactly how much, and I reversed it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I used Audition to re-reverse certain pieces of it, but only in the left or the right channel. So if you listen to it in headphones, you will occasionally hear a piece come ringing back, like a phrase come ringing back in one ear or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trick that I use somewhat sparingly, but I use it with vocals sometimes, or with samples, in order to muddy up their source,
mm-hmm.
kind of, but so that you can still understand it subliminally. But it's also very effective with music, especially when you've got a bunch of reversed stuff, but then you want to just call attention to something and have it just hit you. And it also acts as a statement against capital punishment. So, because of the samples.
Mm-hmm.
The 13th song is the lyrics version of Bosniedo, and the 14th song is Peptic Fan Dance, the Peptide Fan Dance Spammers, but without samples. So that should be coming to Bandcamp in May. Well, it will be coming to Bandcamp in May.
It's May now.
Yes.
This month.
Yes, 2023, May of 2023.
Okay.
The Silent Sings the Blues will have its own podcast to discuss the ins and outs of that, and that could be showing up in May, but it's looking more like June. And then there's another side project, not Dressed in Peace, that is in the works, but that probably won't drop anything. Nothing from that will probably drop until maybe August, because we haven't even settled on a name for it yet. So, although the suggestion of Officer Down Syndrome was made, and we decided, nah, that's highly offensive. You know, I mean, it's amusing, but...
How about Womb Snatchers?
Womb Snatchers.
Womb.
Womb Snatchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would get us set on fire. Invasion of the Embryo Snatchers.
How about Trot?
Trot, right. Yeah.
Or Rot.
I think I'm positive that there's like a fucking punk band named Rot. There has to be. I'm positive that there's probably also a band named The Trots.
The Trots.
Yeah. There just can't. There can't not be. So anyway, that's it for now. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And keep an eye out for In Hypnotic Disarray on Bandcamp. It's, I believe it'll be bandcamp.com/Gilligotti.